Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Next Best Theater podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the landmark rock musical Rent in honor of the 25th anniversary of its Broadway opening, believe it or not. I'm Cody Derricks, and here with me today are Nicole Ackman.
Hi, everyone.
Dan Bayer.
Only thing to do is jump.
Yes. Casey Lee Clark.
December 24th, 9 p.m.
And Lauren LaMagna.
Light the candle.
The instructional introduction there.
Yep.
I missed out on that memo.
Yeah, I would have prepared better. I thought about having us all say our favorite little shout out from La Vie Boheme, and mine was going to be to yogurt, because I think that's fun.
Yogurt, rice and meat and cheese.
Nope, just to yogurt.
Just to yogurt.
Just to the point.
I love that. Now I do have to figure out what mine is.
Right. Well, I was gonna say cheating. Nobody can say it's on time.
Wait. No, we have to do it again, but we each have to say part of the order.
In order.
Rice, beans, cheese.
No. The food.
Oh, buy miso soup for a seaweed salad. Yeah. So burger.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I played the waiter in college. I know it.
Oh. I love that.
Anyway.
That is the part of the song that took me the longest to memorize.
like I said, we're here to talk about Rent, a musical that I personally have a strong bond to. I want to kind of start with, because it's a musical that I think people really tap into more than I think most shows on a very personal level. You know, a lot of people's reaction to it isn't even necessarily to the strength of the material, however strong or not they find it. It's really to, and maybe I'm just extrapolating here and speaking of personal opinion, how you relate to it personally, what it brings to your life, and how it changed your life if it did. So let's go around and talk a little bit about what the show means to us, our personal experience with it, and how we look at it today. Daniel, would you like to start?
Ha, age before beauty, I see. I am happy to start. I was in middle school when Rent made the leap from off-Broadway to Broadway, and it was the, like, immediate thing, you know, like, I mean, classes in my middle school and high school would go to see this show, and like before that it was pretty much, you know, if there happened to be any musical or play on Broadway that had some historical relevance, like we would go to see The Diary of Anne Frank or 1776, you know. And but Rent was not that. You know, Rent was, I actually think it was like the first rock musical that I ever listened to or saw, which is weird to think about, but like, I don't know, I was young and it was the 90s. And I remember hearing it for the first time and just being shocked. Like, Broadway did not sound like this in my head. You know, this was just completely different. Like, this was what I would hear on the radio. You know, this was not show tunes. These were pop songs. And it was the first really, like, modern show that I felt like I knew because of that, even though it takes place in the, you know, 80s, early 90s. And yeah, I love it. I have a really, really strong bond with the show. Like, the more I have grown up, the more I see the flaws in it. But I still, whenever I hear any of the songs from it, I rush back in time to when I was a teenager and hearing it for the first time and seeing it for the first time. And just like, I still get that rush of, oh, hell yes. Every time I listen to anything from this show.
It is interesting that you say that it feels like probably the first rock musical you experienced, because I'm going through my head real fast and I really can't think of a show since before Rent, Hair, that really captures the actual contemporary sound and also what's actually going on in the real world on stage in a way that's not like cringy, you know, arguably. Yeah. I feel like a lot of stuff that tried to do that in the 80s was like Flop City. So it makes sense that was like the first time you and also Broadway had that interaction.
Yeah. Well, and also like it was the first time that I think we saw characters this diverse in a musical. Like there was every shade of skin and every shade of sexuality represented, and it was really looking at contemporary life in a way that I don't think any musical really had before that. And because of that, it really tapped into a lot of youth. Like I think anyone who is born between like probably 1980 and the early 2000s, like this is a core musical for them because of how much it tapped into what we were feeling around the late 90s, early 2000s.
Totally, yeah. Casey, how about you?
Yeah, I think my introduction to Rent, Rent is as old as I am, so that means I'm turning 25 this year. I think my introduction had to have been like being aware of Seasons of Love. I think even as like elementary, middle school, like I think that was like a musical theater song that crossed over, if you will. But then I think I like became more introduced to Rent as a musical from like hearing girls do Take Me or Leave Me at cabarets. I watched the movie and I think I was too young to understand whether it was good or not. I just remember being like, this is too brightly lit. Yeah. But then I think in high school, I finally like listened to the soundtrack. And it was never a show that was like my absolute favorite, but it was also never one that I disliked. I think if anything, the more time has gone on and I've like known more shows and just grown up, the more I've liked it. My roommates in college were a big fan of the filmed from Broadway version from 2008, the final performance on Broadway. And I think seeing that also gave me a new both understanding of the show in general and also just like an appreciation for it. I think it's just one of those shows that I get random songs from it stuck in my head a lot and will go and listen to them, but I don't listen to the full album that much outside for preparing for this. But it's a show that I still really like. I think I just never, outside of certain songs, it never fully grasped me the way that my very favorite shows do, but I still really like it.
I love it. Lauren, any thoughts from you?
Well, as the NBT baby of the group, I was not alive when Rent started in New York City. I was a little baby. And I think my parents went on a date to see Rent, actually, when I went to Broadway. So that's like always fun when my mother's like, I saw the original company of Rent. But my introduction to it was really mainly Seasons of Love was like the go-to song for every graduation or like musical theater class that all the little kids sang. We didn't really know what it was about. We're like, what are all these numbers? Like, what do you mean? What's coffee? I don't get it. And they would always try to like say, we're like seven. And like, we don't really understand it. But then as I got older and I start to understand, you know, what the show was about, the movie came to me in some way, shape, or form. I think it was on Netflix at one point, and I remember really liking it. And then when I went to high school, I went through what I call my Rent phase. And I feel like every single theater kid goes through a Rent phase where they're just really angsty and really angry. And you're starting to understand what's going on with life and what life means. And you kind of identify with, you know, some of these struggling artists and just the sense of community becomes more important to you. And that's where I think the show really succeeds. And that's where I think it's nice. And yeah, I do enjoy the show. I never saw it in person, which sucks when you're, I guess, the baby and you're 10 when the show closes on Broadway and your parents think that it's not appropriate. But it's okay. But I do enjoy the show and I think it has great messages. And I think it's one of those shows where, you know, the older you get, the different messages you'll get from the piece and from specific songs individually. And it's one of my first experiences with LGBT characters. So I think that's like important for like kids to see that and like learn about that. And I'm glad that this was here for me to kind of scratch that, I guess.
Wonderful. I'm glad I scratched that for you too.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, Nicole, what do you have to say?
So the thing about me, and I think maybe the key to understanding who I am as a person, is that whenever I went through my angsty phase in high school, I wasn't one of, like, most theater kids go through their angsty phase and they listen to Rent or Spring Awakening or both. And I listened to Les Mis and Next to Normal. So I never had a Rent phase. Yeah, that's who I am, right?
She is. So, that
but my first exposure to Rent was Seasons of Love being sung at my eighth grade graduation. Seasons of Love is to this day one of my least favorite musical theater songs of all time. Because I've only ever heard it. Yeah, I've only ever heard it in, like, weird scenarios. So by the time I see it in the show, I'm like, oh, can I be done with this damn song? And then otherwise, like, a lot of my experience with Rent actually comes through school. I remember we studied the La Vie Boheme scene in my, like, 10th grade English class. I do not remember the context of us talking about it, but I do remember writing a paper about it. And at that point, like, I'd never seen it. I that was the only thing that I knew from Rent. And then I studied it in my history musical theater class that I took in college. So Rent is one of those shows that I really do appreciate for its history and for what it has, you know, what it meant for Broadway and what a really big sort of shift it brought about in theater. I saw Rent for the first time, I guess it would have been, oh my God, I'm trying to think. Either very late 2019 or early 2020. It was one of the last shows that I saw before everything shut down. I saw the national tour in Durham, and I was like, oh, this is what Rent is. Because I was familiar with a lot of the music, but I'd never actually seen the full show. I'd seen bits and pieces of the movie. And earlier today, I watched the movie for the first time the whole way through. And the thing for me with Rent is it's not a show that I super connect with. Particularly, like, musically, it's not a show that I connect with super well. But it does have a handful of songs that I really like. And also, I've never felt more seen than when Joanne says, or sings, I guess, I make lists in my sleep. So, you know, I think it's one of those shows that, like Casey, like, I don't think I will ever listen to this full album the whole way through again. But the amount of times I'm walking around my apartment and catch myself singing One Song Glory, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad somebody is representing the Joanne Hive, you know, for the show. Maybe
it's
not
me.
One of the characters that usually gets posters on walls and such. So
it's
look,
just
we
me.
Stand a queen who gets shit done. Okay.
As for my experience with this musical Rent, so I feel like Rent and I have kind of hand in hand walked into adulthood together in a way. I first got introduced to it when the movie came out, not because I saw the movie, but because a friend of mine who we were both really into musical theater saw the movie and loved it and brought the cast album to me. And I was just like, yeah, no, this is the thing I'm going to be obsessed with for probably the next 3 years of my life. Thank you very much for giving that gift to me. And I went on to see it 3 times on Broadway. I saw the closing cast like 2 days before it closed, and then felt the need to also then go see the closing performance in a movie theater. Like, I hadn't just seen it, but whatever. And the thing about this show is the score really, I think, is kind of like a truly electrifying, for lack of a better word, for, you know, a very amplified show. And the actual content of the show is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I've expressed this on the show before, but this was the very first time that I ever saw queer characters reacted to and a part of the other characters in the show's lives and have it not be commented on or even acknowledged beyond the necessary acknowledgments. You know, when Angel walks in the apartment for the first time, it's nothing but excitement about this new friend who's arrived in their life with handfuls of money and nothing about what are they wearing. There's no question about their gender expression. They just are. And the same with the way that the Collins Angel romance is portrayed. There's a, you know, a very tender love song ending with a kiss, and it's just treated like any other couple in musical theater, and which is hilarious given the, you know, the proliferation of gay influence in musical theater. But as we expressed on our queer theater episode that we did about a year ago for Pride, that's rarely reflected until fairly recently on the actual stage instead of just behind the scenes. So, you know, as a young gay man, seeing that was really important to me, not because I was ever really scared of coming out, but just seeing it treated as nothing special, which makes it sound lesser than what it is, because, you know, I love being queer and it definitely is a special thing. But to see it treated in the way that the musical treats it was really kind of necessary for me. And, you know, when I first heard the album when I was like 14 or so, I was definitely in the closet. And by the time I'd seen the show less than a year later, I was not. So I think that kind of just goes to show the importance of the show to me. And I know personally and just, you know, anecdotally, a lot of people who've had very similar experiences, no matter what their queerness is or how their relation to the characters in the show is, it kind of really does serve as a bridge between the stage and real life, which is, I think, kind of what we can hope the best art to do. So it's absolutely not a perfect show, and we can get into it, but I think there's something undeniable about that impact on people. And not say that art is only measured by the reception of the art, but that isn't not important to the story being told, and it helps that this show kind of fucking rocks. So that's my experience with Rent. I've seen, like I said, I saw the show 3 times. I saw the Off-Broadway revival. I was in it in college, which I highly recommend if you get the chance to be in the show. It is damn fun, even just in the ensemble. It's a fucking blast. So, yeah. I think a great way to explore this show, which, as you know, we know, it's a rock opera. It's sung through. There's a lot of fucking music. There's a lot of songs. And there's a lot of story because it's based on an opera. And it is, in many ways, its own sort of opera. So I think a fun way to explore the show would be to go through the 8 main characters and kind of talk about them and their relation to the story and their best moments, their best songs, the moments we like. I think that would be kind of a helpful guide through the show. I remember when the show was on Broadway, it was so hard to follow if you weren't already memorized that in the playbill there was like a web of the characters. And it was like,
really?
Mark used to date Maureen, who is now Joanne, and it was the actor, it was whatever show you were, whatever cast you were seeing, it was that current cast's headshots, and it was like, this is Mark. They live with Roger.
Oh,
Roger is into Mimi because it is
I
so,
love that.
Yeah.
Which I kind of so hard.
I kind of think more shows should do that, but I think I like the awareness of like, okay, we just need to, because the show just jumps the right fuck into it. And it's just like, there's tossed off lines about relations here and there. So I think it's helpful to go through it like that. But I actually kind of like the fact that it is so familiar and there's no, you know, nobody sits down with a big I Want song that says their name a million times in it. There's no townspeople singing Mark's name. You know, it's very just, this is the group and we're going to just go along with it.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our full podcast on the 25th anniversary of Rent, along with a special interview with the musical star Anthony Rapp here on the Next Best Theater podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. In order to get the full podcast, you will have to head on over to our Patreon under Next Best Picture, where for $1 minimum a month, you will get the rest of this podcast along with other exclusive podcast content from us. You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and we can be subscribed to anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. If you're feeling generous, head on over to Apple Podcasts, where you can leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, drop us a comment, let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death of a Film Star. Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.